We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. I pray that you are having a really good day today, and we thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. This is Bob Arthurs. I'm from Merit Assembly of God. I'm the pastor there. Coming up on my 23rd anniversary at the church, and we are very thankful for what God is doing. And we want to encourage you to come out and be a part of our vintage service today, if at all possible. If you have kids, we would love to have you come and join us, be a part of that. We started a process about a year and a half ago of launching our kids ministry. We had an adult Bible study, and then we had kids ministry over next door, and it was running just a few kids. And we needed to change that up, and we needed to free up some workers. So we had some seniors that were coming who didn't want to be driving at night. And so we moved our Wednesday night service to Wednesday at 11 a.m., where we sing some traditional hymns and choruses, and then we preach the word of God. We pray, we believe for miracles. And then at 6 o'clock at night, we had actually changed the time frame. It works out really good now, because the kids are released to go home before 8 o'clock at night. And so we have boys and girls ministry start serving food at 6, and then the classes start at 6:30. We're done by 7:45. Kids are on their way home to get cleaned up and everything, and in bed by 7:45 or 8 o'clock. So, and I just like to say thanks to our team. We have a really incredible team. We've got some people who are some of the most godly men and women that I have ever been around. And, you know, in October here, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. I hope that you will love on your pastor, whatever he or she may be, whatever the congregation decides to do or the board decides to do them. But I want you to know, we have a great leadership team. Our board is made up of people with servants' hearts. They're not there with, eyes of prestige or anything like that. They just love Jesus. They love Jesus, and they love people. And so they want to see people restored to a relationship with God. And so I want to remind you again, our mission statement is restoring value spiritually and relationally. And we look forward to doing that. And that's all coming up. It's something that it's just a real privilege to be the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. And I want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538. If you need any work anywhere in the county, they can go. And had a conversation with them last Wednesday night, and they are big believers of the radio program, and so that's just really, really encouraging. And so if you need any help, call them. They will get you fixed up. They do things right, and they can go all the way down to, I don't know how far their southernmost boundary is. They're based in Rockledge, but they do go anywhere in the county. They can work on regular housing as well as mobile homes or package units, whatever you want to call them. So give them a call. They will get you fixed up. Let's look back into Acts chapter 7 today. Acts chapter 7. Yesterday we began describing Moses and his delivering the children of Israel, and how that didn't start off very well in the beginning. It didn't start off very well in the beginning. And if your journey towards deliverance, listen, the devil does not want to surrender you easily. So a lot of times, whenever you have begun with the intent in your heart to become all that God wants you to be, and you have chosen to abandon the things that the devil has used to ensnare you with, I want to prepare you, because the beginning may be quite a struggle. There may be, you may be feeling tugged in both directions. I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. There's a lot of times where people said, man, I didn't have this much challenge when I was living in the world. There was a time where hardship came upon Israel, and they came to a wrong conclusion. Their conclusion was, hey, whenever we were bowing down to idols, and whenever we were preparing food for the Queen of Heaven, and our husbands knew about the idolatry that we had going on in our homes, everything was fine with us, but now everything has gone south. And what they didn't realize was the reason that it had gone south is God had had enough of their idolatry. And he said, you know what? If that's who you think your deliverer, or who's going to bring you deliverance, then go ahead, continue on. And all of a sudden you realize that the devil is not a provider. Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever shared that. The devil is not a provider. He is a thief. God is not a thief. He's a provider. That's worth tuning into the radio broadcast today just for that one little nugget of truth there. The devil is a thief. He is not a provider. And God is a provider. He is not a thief. And yet the devil has managed to contort things to where people think the exact opposite is true, and says, oh, well, when you know, all they want at church is your money, your resources. And I want you to know that's not true. That's not true. We just want God to have everything that belongs to you. There is everything that I've got, as far as I'm concerned, is a tool. Everything I've got, except for my wife and my kids. Those are my family. You could probably throw the dog in there too, but even the dog is a bit of a tool, in that whenever we're walking, if the opportunity comes to have a conversation with another dog owner, we're going to use that dog relationship that we have to try and build a relationship with that person to see where they are in their walk with Jesus. But everything we have is a tool. The devil has tried to convince people that God just wants your money, and life is going to be so much harder without it. I've discovered exactly the opposite to be true, that 10% of the money that has been entrusted to me, it belongs to God. You know what? The government doesn't even ask. The government says that 7.65% of your paycheck belongs to them. And then, depending upon how much you make, there's even more money that belongs to them. And they take that right off of the top. They don't even give you an opportunity. And nobody ever says, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't seem, you know, that's my money. But when it comes to God, all of a sudden, because it doesn't come out of your paycheck to where you never see it, you've actually got to write the check. But I remind you that God says that the tithe belongs to him. It is holy. And I don't want to touch anything that is holy and belongs to God. I want to make sure that I treat it with reverence and respect and handle it the way that God prescribed, because he is a provider. He gives bread to eat and seed to sow. So I'm getting kind of sidetracked here over where we're supposed to be on the lesson today. But that was really, that was encouraging. I blessed myself with that word this morning. Verse number 26, we had talked on yesterday, we're going to be in Acts chapter 7. We had talked about yesterday that Moses thought that he would be able to deliver his people. He thought he would be able to do it in his own strength, and that God would deliver the people. But the problem was the people didn't understand. And so He took matters into his own hand, and it says in verse number 26, the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? That's a very good question. But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. So one day Moses acts and sets a Hebrew servant free that was being beaten by an Egyptian. And the next day he finds two brethren, two fellow Hebrews, two Israelites, and they are fighting one another. And Moses stops and he asks them a question, and he says, why do you do wrong to one another? You know, the body of Christ is supposed to be a different place. It's supposed to operate by different principles. We're not supposed to be in competition with one another. We're not supposed to be oppressing one another. We are not supposed to be rebelling against one another. You know, the world talks about backstabbing and things like that. It's not supposed to be a place. In the New Testament, there's a warning about backbiting. It says, if you don't stop, you are going to devour one another. You know, I like to read news stories. I'm a bit of a news junkie. If I have a bit of an addiction, which it's not, you know, life controlling or anything, but sometimes, it is an addiction to the news. But I like to read all sorts of different stories. And I remember this one story where this, large snake got into a life or death struggle with an alligator. I don't remember if it was a boa constrictor or a python or whatever it was, but it was a very large snake. And the snake actually won the battle. It actually suffocated and killed the alligator. And then it tried to eat the alligator. And what happened was, in this struggle between the two, they both ended up dying. The alligator is just not compatible with the insides of that snake. And the snake actually died after winning the battle. And I want you to know that the same thing happens whenever Christians fight with one another. Whenever families are fighting with one another. Whenever siblings are fighting. You both end up losing. And Paul warned, he said, look, that is not the way Christians are supposed to operate. That's the way the world operates. A house divided against itself, Jesus didn't say probably won't stand. He said it cannot stand. It is unable to stand. And that is why the devil does such diligent overtime work to try and sow seeds of discord, whether it's in a home or in a workplace or in a church. I'm very concerned about America right now, because we are a house divided. And what I mean by that is, not only is there different, it's not that there can't be differing opinions, but there is so much animosity between the two sides of America that, you know, Jesus is not going to be proven a liar. He is going to be proven to be true. The Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so the devil will try and sow seeds of discord. Do you realize that is one of the things that is listed in the seven deadly sins? I don't want to be the person that sows those types of seeds. And so if there's division that's going on, allow me today, without you know, being violent like Moses was with the Egyptian, to come to you and say, why do you want to behave like that? It's not going to get you the desired result. And why don't we allow God to give us the spirit of repentance? What Paul wrote was, you know, instead of being dragged to court, it would be better that one person be willing to be wronged, and that God would be trusted with the situation. By the way, vengeance belongs to God. It's his. He's going to take care of it. So when Moses was attacked, Moses didn't go out and vindicate himself. Instead, he allowed God to do it. God took care of it very well. I was listening to T.D. Jakes a little over a week ago, and he was talking about that the very first recorded case of leprosy in the Bible that he could find was that of Miriam when she began to speak out against Moses. And as a result of that, Moses interceded and prayed for her, and God healed her. And so I just want to tell you today that if you do have a disease that the doctors may not have a cure for, maybe they've never even seen it before, I encourage you today to seek the face of the Lord, as well as those other things. But seek God first. I tell our congregation, seek God first, seek him in the middle, seek him in the end, start seeking him, and don't stop seeking him, and give God the glory when healing comes. So the men rejected Moses' efforts at being a reconciler. The New Testament gives the ministry of reconciliation to the church. But in order for reconciliation to take place, there has to be repentance, there has to be forgiveness, there has to be a willingness to be reconciled. And, it always baffles me whenever there are irreconcilable differences that are cited as a reason for a divorce. You know what? It is very rarely irreconcilable differences. In fact, the Bible says that ordinarily it is caused by hardness of someone's heart, where they just don't care what the Word of God says anymore. They don't care what anybody else has to say. They are going to run their life by their feelings and forget about everything else. We're not going to worry about collateral damage. I'm just going to do what makes me happy, because me being happy is the most important thing in the world. That means when a person has adopted that mindset, that means that they have set themselves up as God. That they are on the throne, and them being pleased is the utmost objective. So that is not what we are for. I encourage you today. The scripture says to make peace quickly. It says a quiet answer turns away wrath. And so I just pray that God gives us the wisdom to be able to deal with strife and discord in a manner that is pleasing to him. His neighbor that had done the wrong pushed him away and completely rejected Moses. He was a symbolic rejection. It talks about in verse 34, this whom Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? This was a symbolic rejection of Moses' attempt at delivering by himself. He knew the word of God. He was from the tribe of Levi. So, I mean, this is, he knew the stories about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He knew all about that, but he was going to try and do it in his own strength. Did you know whether it's a marriage, whether it's a business, whether it's a church, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain that build it. If it comes to deliverance, God's got to be in the process. God is the only one who can deliver us. And so I want to encourage you today, let's not reject the one whom God has delivered. But, like we talked about on yesterday's program, Let's not just assume because it's in our heart to do it that it is God's time to do it. We need to get alone with God, and we need to allow God to show us his strategy. Verse number 30, and when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And when Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. The thing that Moses really needed, you see, he was nursed at his mother's breast. His mother was the one that took care of him. And got paid by Pharaoh's daughter to do it for those first 3 months. But then he was trained in the wisdom. He was trained in the words. He was trained in the actions of the Egyptians. The only way he knew to do things for the first 40 years was the way that the Egyptians did it. He had knowledge of who he was, but he did not understand the process that God would use. And so, after 40 years of running, after being rejected at his self-birthed attempt at deliverance, Moses finally has an encounter with God. Can I tell you this? Until we have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, we are never going to be able to set others free in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, There's history is filled with people who were imperfect. They had plenty of flaws that God used to do great exploits. Can I tell you why? Because God loves people more than we love people. He's willing to use a flawed vessel, but that's no reason for us to be content remaining a flawed vessel. And so Moses is out tending his sheep in the wilderness, and he sees this bush that is ablaze, and yet the bush is not being consumed. And he says, I'm going to turn aside and I'm going to see this strange sight as to why the bush is not consumed. And when he gets over there, not only he realizes that the strangest thing is not the fire in the bush, and the bush is still hanging in there, but all of a sudden there's a voice that cries out to him from the midst of that bush. And he calls him by name, and he says, he came near to observe, and the voice of the Lord came to him saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now you got to understand, all of those guys lived hundreds of years before, and God says, I'm still here. I haven't forgotten. Today, you might be here and you may be listening. There may be people who right now are thinking, you know, it was in my 20s. I had a passion for God, and now I've gone through some difficult seasons. I've become a little jaded, skeptical. And now I don't know if God is still around anymore, if he would still have me, if he would still want me. And what I want to encourage you on this day is, God wants you to know, I'm still here. I'm still on the throne. The miracles I did in the past, I'm still able to do. In fact, if you want to know the truth, God was just getting started. He was just getting started. He says, I'm going to show you things I never had to show Abraham. I'm going to do things for you I never did for Isaac or for Jacob. But it all starts with a personal relationship. Now, I'm very, very persuaded that there is a job that God wants for you to do. But I am more persuaded of this, that more important to him than the job he has for you to do is the relationship that he wants to have with you. Deliverance, If we are going to be agents of deliverance, and that's what Moses was, he was the agent of God's deliverance, but God insists that we have a personal relationship, a personal encounter with him. And then he tells Moses this. He says, the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Let me read that to you again. The Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. A lot of people think of holy ground as being a geographic location, that the church is holy ground. And it is. But the ground being holy is not determined by the geography. It's determined by God's presence. And whenever God's presence shows up, wherever God's presence shows up, that place is holy. It may be in a hospital room. It may be in a jail cell. It may be in your home. It may be while you're doing dishes. My wife has holy encounters with God as she's driving to work in Melbourne each day. Her commute, you know, some people, we watch these programs and they say, well, we're a little concerned about that 15 or 20 minute commute. My wife commutes 45 minutes to an hour to work each day, but she's not so burdened by the distance, because for her, that's quiet time with God. It's the time that she's praying and reaching out to God and praying for the day. And see, by the way, I'm blessed. I've got an absolutely incredible wife. If you find, guys, if you're out there and you find a wife that is half as good as my wife, she's a keeper, and you should cherish her. I am a blessed man. But God wants us to realize that when we're in the presence of his holiness, there's going to be some things that we have to lay aside, because God doesn't want anything, no matter how small or insignificant, coming in between us and his holiness, impacting our lives. There are some people that God is going to use to bring people into the kingdom of God, but I want to encourage you today. First of all, don't get distracted by strife and discord. Also, make sure that your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is all that it should be. And also, have that encounter with the Holy One of Israel. Allow his holiness to become a very real part in your life and my life. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.